Today we're going to be talking about godly thinking for successful living, and we're going to learn the thinking we're talking about is not just here. The thinking we're talking about has to go from here to your heart. It becomes a way of life with you. So if you'll stand right now, we're going to honor God as we read his word in Psalm 86. Hear me, Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Guard my life, for I'm faithful to you. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I call to you all day long. Bring joy to your servant, Lord, for I put my trust in you. You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call on you. Hear my prayer, Lord. Listen to my cry for mercy. When I'm in distress, I call to you, because you answer me. Among the gods, there's none like you, Lord. No deeds can compare with yours. All the nations you've made will come and worship before you, Lord. They'll bring glory to your name. For you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. Now this is our key verse, verse 11, so really pay attention to this one. Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. I will praise you, Lord my God, with all my heart. I'll glorify your name forever. For great is your love towards me, for you have delivered me from the depths, from the realms of the dead. Arrogant foes are attacking me, O God. Ruthless people are trying to kill me. They have no regard for you. But you, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Turn to me and have mercy on me. Show your strength in behalf of your servant. Save me, because I serve you just as my mother did. Give me a sign of your goodness, that my enemies may see it and be put to shame. For you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me. Father, we're grateful. The second to the last verse said, save me because I serve thee just as my mother did. Father, what a blessing to have a godly mother. A mother that loved you, that set an example of service and love and faithfulness. Father, today is not Mother's Day, but we do want to thank you for our mothers. Lord, bless us today as we learn how to think your thoughts, how to apply those thoughts to our lives, that we, Lord, might have successful lives for your glory. And Father, we'll give you the praise now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Let me start off asking a question again today. Sometimes the good teacher will ask a question that'll set your mind kind of thinking. Do you know how to walk in God's ways? Do you know God's truth today? Folks, both those things can be yours. They're not a gift for the few chosen. They're a gift given by God to every son and daughter of God that wants to seek it out. If you want to know the mind of God, if you want to walk with God, he'll give you both. But it has to be something that you choose for yourself. Nobody can choose that for you. And believe it or not, nobody can keep it away from you if you want it. It's a private thing. It's an in-the-heart thing. In Psalm 86:11, we mentioned this is our key verse for today. Teach me your way, Lord. Now, God is a wonderful teacher, and he's always trying to teach every one of his children his ways because he knows what's best for us. He's my creator. He's my sustainer. He knows exactly what he made me to do, and he knows exactly the same for you. And he wants to instruct you what's going to be the best choices you can make in your life. Because you are going to make a lot of choices in this lifetime. If you keep choosing the wrong things, you know, the insanity has been defined as doing something that hurts and just keeping right on doing it. And there are people that do it all the time. All of us do it sometimes, but some people do it all the time. Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. A divided heart is a heart that says, I know this is true and I know it's probably what's best for me, but I really want this. Folks, I can't tell you how many Christians I know that keep choosing this instead of that. And we wonder, why is our life such a mess? It's because we keep choosing the things that don't please our God. We choose the things that God says, son, daughter, this is going to hurt you, but I want it so bad. And we chase after it until we get it, and then we wish we hadn't. In Psalm 103, verse 7, it says, he made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. Now, we want to know his deeds. All of us should know what God has done through history. But I want to know his ways most importantly, because this is all the history I'm going to have as these 70, 80, 90 years, whatever the Lord gives. This is now my life. Remember Mordecai said to Esther, Queen Esther, who knows but the Lord has put you in such a position for such a time as this. Folks, you are in the position you're in right now for such a time as this. You don't live in the year 2000. You live in the year 2023 now, and God has a plan for you today. He has things he wants you to accomplish for his glory. So when we're talking about thinking, we're not talking about thinking your way to heaven, because you can't do that. The price has already been paid for you to go to heaven. But we do have to think clearly to know the promises of God and what God has said will get us to heaven, and then we have to do it. I could name off right now about 10 different people that I know that know exactly how to get to heaven, but they won't do it. Why? Because they've got a divided heart. They know exactly what they have to do. They have to personally receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But if I do that, there are things that I still want to do in my life that if he's Lord, I can't do. I remember like yesterday when I got saved in the shop, 52, 53 years ago now. I was like a racehorse in the stall. I wanted to receive Christ, but as soon as I did, I knew I had some habits that had to go. And it was a little bit of a struggle until finally I said, okay, Lord, I surrender. I'm done. I'm going to give up all that junk, because it was junk. The Lord never asked me to give up anything that was good for me, just the stuff that was going to destroy me. And as soon as I did it, I had perfect peace. And I just got to tell you, nothing that you're afraid of to hold back from the Lord is worth having. He won't take anything that's good. He's just going to take away the things that are going to hurt you. And I know sometimes we love those things. I was into pornography, I'll just tell you, because you need to know you do not have a perfect pastor or a perfect man here. I was into pornography. And if I received Christ, guess what? I had to give up all that. Folks, I don't know what you're into today, but you're going to have to give up something. If he's going to be Lord, he's in charge now. I'm not. And yes, it does come at a price, but the price is well worth it. It's way more than better. So when we have the Christian life, you can be a Christian and have no zest in your life at all, no excitement at all, because you're double-minded. You want to walk with Christ. You have gone as far as receiving him, but there are still things that are holding you back. And we have a double mind, and we wonder, why do we have so much trouble living the Christian life? It's because we have worldly thinking controlling our minds and our hearts when we need to think God's thoughts. You need to make a choice. Am I going to finally believe God that his ways are better than my ways? He says in the book of Isaiah 55, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. So if we're going to change our thinking, we have to learn God's thoughts, and then we have to take them into our own heart as our thoughts now. God's thoughts are better than mine, better than yours. In Romans 12:1, he tells us how to go about this transition. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Once you start to put into effect in your own lives the things that God has told you are best for you, then finally, you'll be the one that'll be able to say, you know, God's ways are best. God's ways will help me in this life. God's ways will bring blessings to my life. I'm not ruining myself by the garbage that my God tells me to put out of my life. Our thinking should be very important to each and every one of us, because Proverbs 23:7 says very clearly, for he's the kind of person who's always thinking about the cost. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. A double-minded man. He's saying things just like a Christian would say. Come on over to my house. I got everything ready. We'd just love to have you. But in his heart, what's he thinking? He's thinking, man, that's going to cost me a lot of money. And that person's a pain in the butt anyhow. Why did I ever ask him over? Folks, you can have a Christian position. You receive Christ, but you can think just like this world. And many Christians do, and they wonder, why am I so messed up? The Bible tells us we have to make a choice. You can choose to live the way this world does, and yes, if you've received Christ, you're going to go to heaven. But I want to tell you, the choice you're going to make is going to cost you dearly all the time you're here. In the book of Joshua, chapter 24, Joshua calls his own people to action and to a choice. This is so important. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you and to the children of Israel, it did. God's ways were not where their heart was at. They would acquiesce mentally, but never did in their heart. If serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Folks, that's a choice only you can make. Your mother can't make that for you. Your dad can't make that for you. This is something you have to come to. As for me and my house, in the year 2023, anybody that lives in my house, we're going to serve the Lord. That's when the heart and the mind get together. That's when what you're thinking here gets into your heart, and now you're not divided anymore. You've got one heart, one purpose. The world wants to determine your thinking. The world wants to push you into its mold. And God also wants to control your thinking, and he wants to push you into his mold. His mold for you and for me is Christ-likeness. That's what he wants. He wants us to be just like his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you know how many thoughts you have in a day? They tell us the average person has 65,000 thoughts a day. That's about one a second. And the interesting thing is they discover that 95% of the thoughts you have today, you had yesterday, and you had the day before, and you had the day before. We keep thinking and rethinking and thinking and rethinking because we never make a decision. We just think about it. Think about life. Think. So what did you think about this morning when you got up and were trying to get ready for church? I'm sure you thought, well, what kind of clothes am I going to wear today? What's for breakfast, by the way? That's pretty important. Wonder who I'm going to see at church that's going to rub me the wrong way today. You know, those things happen, don't they? But did you stop and think about what God wanted to accomplish by you coming to church today? What's the Lord's purpose in all this? If you stop and think how many times we are in church and how many times we come to church, especially if you're pretty regular, it's a lot of times. What's the purpose of all this? The purpose is to make us Christ-like. You have gifts and abilities that nobody else in this room has. And God wants to put all that together so that all of us serving one another can grow towards Christ-likeness. So the primary differences of thinking, God's thoughts and our thoughts, worldly thinking people, and Christians can be worldly thinking. Please understand that. Worldly thinking people focus on their problems. What's wrong? What's going on? Godly people think about how can God use what's wrong, what's going on, to make me more like himself. Because hopefully, if you're thinking godly thoughts, your primary goal in life is becoming the same as the Lord's primary goal for your life. The Lord's primary goal for you and I is to be Christ-like. You can focus on your problems and you can ask yourself, why did God allow this? You know, children, one of the first things they say is why? Why do I have to do that? Why do I have to do that? Why is this happening? Why aren't we there yet? As we get to be a little older, instead of asking why all the time, the godly person begins to ask what? What, Lord, is the purpose of you allowing this trouble in my life? What, Lord, would you have me do to respond properly to this trial? What, Lord, is your ultimate goal in this? And it's always going to be the same answer. What is your primary goal? To make you and I just like Jesus Christ. In James chapter 1, verse 2, he talks about the idea that most Christians never mature enough to get to, and I still struggle with this, I got to admit it. I'm doing better. But consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Why in the world would anybody consider it pure joy to face a trial? Because you know the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Christian maturity is Christ-likeness. Every trial you face in your life that God allows into your life is for that purpose. And if that's the purpose, and I know that, verse 2 says, you know, sadly, we don't know, at least when we're in the problem, we just can't reflect, God's allowing this to mature me. If you think it that way, that whatever's going on, God is allowing to mature me. Who does that put in charge of you becoming like Christ? Is it your wife who's holding you back? Is it your mother, your dad, your grandpa, who? It's only you. You understand, you get to decide how you face troubles and trials. You get to decide how you handle the good things that happen in life. Sometimes good things can turn out to be terrible things. I was listening to Dave Ramsey last night. He had a young man on there that had won the lottery for $1 million. And he wasted it all. Now he's broke. And Dave Ramsey's question was, well, did you learn anything? Did you learn to stop gambling? No, he hadn't learned that yet. He's broke and he's still doing it. Folks, the whole purpose of this is to grow you up, to realize there are certain things in life that are hurtful. Don't keep doing that same stupid thing. Grow up. Learn from the trials of life. In Hebrews 12:11, it says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Are you being trained by the troubles and trials the Lord brings? Or you just keep right on doing the same thing? That young man knew that gambling was taking every penny he had, but he wasn't learning the lesson. What's the lesson? Stop gambling. Start trusting God. Lay a little aside. Don't spend more than you have. Those are lessons of life that we all need to learn, and we can learn. People who think like the world blame others for their problems. The reason I'm the way I am is because of my family. Oh, I never had a good family. The reason I am the way I am is because of that boss. That boss is just miserable to be with. The reason I'm in trouble is my wife doesn't understand me. My husband doesn't get it. Folks, the reason you're where you are is because of your own mind, the way you think. God uses people from terrible family backgrounds to do wonderful things for Him. You can't blame it on your family. You can't blame it on your husband or your wife. You are becoming the person that you are because of the choices you are making. Either you're responding properly in God's way to your trial, or you're responding the way the world does. Jacob said, "All this is against me." You know, not one thing that happened in Jacob's life was against him. Not one thing that happens in your life is against you. All those things are for our good. People who think like the world blame everybody else and they never grow. When you stop blaming others and you take responsibility for your own choices, then you can start to grow. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, it says, "No temptation or trial has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He'll never let you be tempted or tried beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted or tried," because the same word can be either one, "He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." Do you know what the way out always is? It's always trusting in the Lord. It isn't a little neat plan you come up with. It's simply saying, in this situation, I choose to trust my Lord. In this situation, I'm going to choose to obey the Lord. It really is that simple. It's not complex. It's not that people are smarter than you. It's that other people maybe trust the Lord a little more than you do yet. But you can grow into it too. The Lord, no matter what the temptation, no matter what the problem or the trial of life is, He's promised to always make a way out so that you can do what? So you can be successful? No. So that you can be proud? No. So that you can live faithfully. You see, the idea here is not having the biggest house, the biggest car, the biggest boat. The idea, and what's going to be important in the end, was I faithful to my Lord? Did I walk in obedience to my Lord? That's all that's going to matter. Because no matter how big a house you got, guess what? In 200 years, it's junk. It's gone. No matter what kind of car you drive, in about 30 years, it's junk. No matter how big a boat, and boy, I see them all the time now because gas is so expensive, people can't hardly afford those big boats anymore. And you see them everywhere in some people's backyards. 30-foot boat, 25-foot boat, just sitting there because you can't afford the gas. It's crazy what's happened today. People are finally starting to get it. Things aren't what make life worth living. A relationship, first with the Lord, then with your mate if you're fortunate enough to have a mate, your children, your family, your church, that's what's going to matter. And I just can't encourage you enough, get your thinking from your head to your heart. Start to think God's thoughts both places, and your life will really start to make some sense. You'll start to grow. Worldly-minded people usually ask the question, why? Godly people ask the question, what, Lord? What are you trying to teach me? What is the best choice now? In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, it says, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. And the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat." And so all of our struggle after the things of this world, What's going to happen to all of it? It's going to be gone. It's going to melt. It's gone. And so what the Lord is saying is, get your mind off this world and the things of this world and put your thoughts on things above. Live for things that will never die. What are those things? What kind of things in your life right now are never going to die? For one thing, Jesus said, if you'll trust him, you'll never die. I'm never going to die. I'm going to put this body off, but absent in the body, present with the Lord. So one thing is your own soul. If you're not saved today, you don't know for sure Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you receive him, you'll never die. Number two, every good work you've ever done in Jesus' name, from the time you receive him till the time you die, you'll never lose your reward. That's a promise of God. It'll never go away. Every person that you lead to the Lord, if you're a mother or a father and you have the blessing of leading your little ones to faith in Christ, you're never going to lose that. They're going to be with you for all eternity. Yesterday, Tim got a chance with Adam Baldiga, got a chance to lead him to faith. He's going to have a friend in heaven for all eternity. Everybody in this room can think of somebody's name that led you to the faith in Christ. Do you know how long you're going to remember that? I'm going to remember that for all eternity. My sister kept after me year after year after year. She knew I didn't have it. She couldn't explain it. But finally, she sent Pastor Williams to my house. And the first time I ever heard the gospel clear was from that pastor 53 years ago. I'll never forget it. I praise the Lord for it. Our Lord wants us to know the verse we gave earlier about as he thinks in his heart, so is he. In Proverbs 23, it comes in a context. In Proverbs 23, verse 6, it says, do not eat the food of a begrudging host. Do not crave his delicacy. For he is the kind of person who is always thinking about the cost. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. In the King James, it says, as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Folks, as you think in your heart, not in your head, as you think in your heart, that's the person that you are, and that's the person you're becoming. And if in your heart you still long after the things of this world, the pride of life, is one of those things. The lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh. If those are the things you're still after, guess what? You're never going to grow up in your faith in Christ. You're going to stay a spiritual baby. You're going to stay double-minded. Doesn't have to be that way. We can live out and out for the Lord. In James chapter 1, verse 5, he tells us, be careful if it's here. You've got the desire to do well, but you can't figure out how to carry it out. If any of you lacks wisdom, and that's wisdom is the word for skillful living in this life, living a life that honors God and that will bless you and all yours. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Remember we talked about the double-minded man. Because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Why? Because in my mind, I would like to do what the Lord wants me to do. But my heart hasn't gotten there yet. My heart still wants to be in control of my own life. I want to do what Jerry Larkin wants me to do. Jesus said, unless a man dies to himself, he cannot be my disciple. You can be saved without being a disciple. We have to come to this point. Proverbs 11, verse 3. The integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity. How many of you have known alcoholic men or women that are weeping because they've lost their health, they've lost their job, they've lost their family, but they just keep right on drinking. Same thing with drugs, same thing with sex. I don't care what the sin is. I read the other day about a teacher. She was trying to teach her children, it's a Christian school, trying to teach her children about habits of life. So she took out a spool of thread, and she wrapped a thread around her student wrist one time. She said, "Johnny, can you break the thread?" He reached down, and nothing to it. So she went over to Johnny again, and she wrapped it three times around his wrist. "Okay, Johnny, can you break the thread?" Well, it was a little more struggle, but he broke it. She wrapped it around 10 times, and guess what? Johnny couldn't break it anymore. That's what our habits of life do to us. They take us captive. But habits can be wonderful. If you've got godly habits, imagine every day for the next month, you got up every single day, and you took 5 minutes for prayer and 10 minutes for Bible reading. If you did this one day, the next day, easy to sleep in. But if you do that 5 or 10 days in a row or 30 days in a row, it's not easy to stop that anymore. You see, you can get godly good habits just as easily as you get worldly bad habits. And it's all a choice right here. You have to choose it. It's in your hands. Are you a godly thinker today? Do you think God's thoughts? We have to start and believe with in line both mind and heart, and then we have a unity. Now we can serve Christ in a way that's pleasing to him. In Joshua 1, verse 8, the Lord said to Joshua, "Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful." Folks, how much of the time of your day is to be spent thinking about God and his word? All day long. Many of you, and I used to do this all the time, I'd be going down the road when I was younger years listening to music, rock music, really move, ooh, yeah, okay, good. But many people today, instead of rock music, it's the news channel. You can't get your focus off the news. You've got to know exactly what's going on. Folks, suppose you spent just half of that time thinking about Bible verses that are exciting to you, things that God has told you that could change your life, and you reflected on that instead. You can do that driving down the road. You can do that in your house. In the book of Psalms, chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and meditates on his law day and night." 1 Timothy 4, verse 15. "Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them, so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them. Because if you do, you'll save both yourself and your hearers." If you have children or grandchildren, they're listening to everything you say. When you don't live out your faith, they pick it up in an instant. You may not pick it up. You may think I'm doing just fine because here I've got it right. But now you get angry about something and it's not here. Guess what? You're going to react the wrong way and those kids are going to pick it up. In James chapter 1, verse 21, we get quite a warning. He says, "Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word." That's here. "And deceive yourselves. Do what it says." That's here. That's living it out. That's saying, "I believe what I've heard." Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they've heard but doing it, they'll be blessed in what they do. So I'm going to give you real quickly some biblical application. How do I get it from here to here? Number one, you need to create a meditation list. This is a little piece of paper. I've got one that I go over every day. I've got lifetime goals. I've got yearly goals. I've got weekly goals. It takes about 4 minutes to go over that. It doesn't take long. It's real brief. You need to put down on that list your goals for your life. What's most important? So many people are too busy to do that. I understand that. Because if you don't know what your primary goals are, your mind is everywhere. You've got 1,000 things that are all important. Remember with Martha and Mary? Martha was busy preparing a meal, and she said, "Lord, don't you care? My sister isn't helping me. Tell her to get up and get to work." What did Jesus say? "Martha, Martha, you're concerned about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. And Mary has chosen what's necessary." What was that one thing Mary chose? She chose to listen to her Lord. Martha couldn't listen to Jesus because she's so busy. These things have to be done. What would have happened if Martha had sat where Mary was? People wouldn't have had a dinner. Could they live without a dinner one day? No problem at all. I want to tell you, don't get so caught up in this world that you're so busy, you don't have time even to make a list of what's most important in your life. Folks, people are chasing after cars and houses, and their family, their own family, doesn't even make it on the important list. I've got things to do. I don't have time for you. Folks, you're going to miss it. When you're 90 years old, your car isn't going to mean a thing to you. It doesn't matter. Who cares what kind of a house you live in? It doesn't matter anymore. What matters is that husband, that wife, those children, the family. That's what matters. You've got to refocus. In Proverbs 21, verse 5, it says, "The plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty." When you're busy chasing this world, you cannot be busy chasing the things God wants you to chase. Christ's likeness should be number one on your list. Loving the Lord with all your heart ought to be way up there. The house, the car, the boats, that should be way down on your list. It doesn't matter. It does when you're 20, I got to admit that. That big car, man, that was important. But as you get older, you realize that wasn't important at all. It didn't matter. You need to capture your meditations. You need to keep a journal. You need to know what your thoughts are. Because if you don't have time to write down what your thoughts are, guess what? None of those thoughts are going to matter a bit. When you write it down, it organizes your thinking. We get so caught up in everything going on that we can't think clearly. When you write it down, you must think clearly because it's just a jumble of words. But as you write it down, it starts to make some sense. It all fits. If it doesn't fit, then you simply take it off. It isn't important. You need to schedule time every day to get alone with God and meditate. You're too busy, I understand. You're chasing the world. If you're too busy for your Creator God, you are indeed too busy. You need to have time just to think. In Philippians 4:6, he tells us a lot of times why we don't do this. He says, "Do not be anxious about anything." But we are an anxious people, aren't we? Everything's a crisis. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Finally, brothers and sisters, now he even tells us how to think. If you're thinking things that are not on this list, guess what? You're not thinking right. You need to cut some things off. "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. There are a lot of things in our life we have to deal with, but you deal with them quickly and you get back to that list. Otherwise, those things are going to take your mind off the things that are lovely and beautiful and praiseworthy and worthy about thinking about. So, Philippians 4:13. You can believe all things are against you. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. I can't do these things on myself, but if I'll learn to trust God, I can do every single thing he's telling me to do. I'll have more than enough time to do it. The Apostle Paul, again, tells us how to renew our mind. Because if you keep thinking worldly thoughts, you're never going to get here. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's when you get your mind and your heart in one. My mind doesn't tell me one thing and my heart another. If you're getting double messages, you are a double-minded person. You've got to get it from here to here, and then you'll be thinking God's way. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. 2 Corinthians 10:3 tells us how to go about this. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power. Now, I don't know about you, but I would much rather have divine power in my life than just my own power. Here's what that divine power will do for you. They will have divine power to demolish strongholds. I hope you know what strongholds are. Years ago, a stronghold was in the city. They would have one building built out of all stone, really strong, that could withstand an attack. You have strongholds in your mind. These are thoughts that you think, but they're not true. God says his divine power will knock that stronghold out of your life. I can't live without this thing. And the Lord will say, yes, you can. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, do you know that the mind of Christ comes in you in the person of Jesus Christ? In Philippians 2:5, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ. Let me just ask you, are you growing that direction? Is Christ's thoughts more and more your thoughts? Do you look at life in the same way Christ looks at life? Our key verse for today again was Psalm 86:11. Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. Father, we long to have godly thinking. We long to think your thoughts after you, not just in our mind, but in our heart. Father, give us an undivided heart. Help us, Lord, to commit ourselves daily to walking with you, to becoming like our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we'll give you the praise today in Jesus' holy name. Amen.